to conjecture in this case upon what foundation universal suffrage is claimed for them with so much importunity. The pretensions of organizers suggest another question, which I have often asked them, and to which I am not aware that I ever received an answer. Since the natural tendencies of mankind are so bad that it is not safe to allow them liberty, how comes it to pass that the tendencies of organizers are always good? Do not the legislators and their agents form a part of the human race? Do they consider that they are composed of different materials from the rest of mankind? They say that society, when left to itself, rushes to inevitable destruction because its instincts are perverse. They presume to stop it in its downward course and to give it better direction. They have, therefore, received from heaven intelligence and virtues that place them beyond and above mankind. Let them show their title to this superiority. They would be our shepherds, and we are to be their flock. This arrangement presupposes in them a natural superiority, the right to which we are fully justified in calling upon them to prove. You must observe that I am not contending against their right to invent social combinations, to propagate them, to recommend them, to try them upon themselves at their own expense and risk. But I do dispute their right to impose them upon us through the medium of the law, that is, by force and by public taxes. I would not insist upon the Cavettists, the Fourierist, the Proudhonians, the academics, and the protectionist renouncing their own particular ideas. I would only have them renounce the idea that is common to them all, namely, that of subjecting us by force to their own categories and rankings, to their social laboratories, to their ever-inflating bank, to their Greco-Roman morality, and to their commercial restrictions. I would ask them to allow us the faculty of judging of their plans and not to oblige us to adopt them if we find that they hurt our interest or are repugnant to our consciences. To presume to have recourse to power and taxation, besides being oppressive and unjust, implies further the pernicious assumption that the organized is infallible and mankind incompetent. And if mankind is not competent to judge for itself, why do they talk so much about universal suffrage? This contradiction in ideas is unhappily to be found also in facts. And whilst the French nation has preceded all others in obtaining its rights, or rather its political claims, this has by no means prevented it from being more governed and directed and imposed upon and fettered and cheated than any other nation. It is also the one of all others where revolutions are constantly to be dreaded, and it is perfectly natural that it should be so. So long as this idea is retained, which is admitted by all our politicians and so energetically expressed by Mr. Louis Blanc in these words, society receives its impulse from power. So long as men consider themselves as capable of feeling yet passive, incapable of raising themselves by their own discernment and by their own energy to any morality or well-being, and while they expect everything from the law, in a word, while they admit that their relations with the state are the same as those of the flock with the shepherd, it is clear that the responsibility of power is immense. Fortune and misfortune, wealth and destitution, equality and inequality all proceed from it. It is charged with everything. It undertakes everything. It does everything. Therefore, it has to answer for everything. If we are happy, it has a right to claim our gratitude. But if we are miserable, it alone must bear the blame.